Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of the intersection of yoga, shamanic reiki, and wildlife conservation. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share the practices that keep me grounded, connected, and real as a yoga teacher, a shamanic reiki practitioner and teacher, a mentor, and a wildlife rehabilitator and advocate. It's time for you to unveil your unique gifts to the world and to step forward as an inspirational leader and change maker in service to your circle, your community, and our earth. Welcome to your extraordinary life. You'll find past episodes on myshamaniclife.com and a link to Patreon. Sponsor this podcast on Patreon and support the rescue, rehabilitation, and release of injured wild turtles by contributing needed equipment. Visit DancingTurtleWildlife.com to learn more about wildlife rehabilitation and the turtle bus. If you'd like to join me for a guided visualization, find a comfortable place to sit or lie down. But for now, wherever you're listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Be aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel anchored in and receive the nourishment and nurturing of the earth. You are here. The time is now. I'm still working with the Wild Unknown Animal Spirit deck by Kim Kranz. I pull a card daily, and I do it online, live in the Shamanic Flow Circle group on Facebook. If you're not yet a member of that group, I invite you to join me. The card that I pulled today is Dolphin, which I pulled very recently, maybe a couple episodes ago. And just a reminder that Dolphin is this intelligent, healing, light-filled creature of the ocean, mammals, so comes up for breath and reminds us that we need to do the same. We need to come up for breath. We need to remember our spiritual and physical practice of breathing. I'm not going to say too much more about Dolphin. You can go back to past episodes if you'd like to find out some more and enjoy a yoga practice based on Dolphin and Dolphin Pose. Before I get to the meditation, I just want to bring your attention to a couple of things. If you are catching this before or on or just shortly after May 4th, you are welcome to join me in an online experience called Map Your Path to Earth Service. And I've made this experience geared towards those of us who are in the healing arts professions, because most of us are on pause right now, which means that we're not doing the work that we thought we were meant to do in the world in the way that we're used to doing it, which is one-on-one or group classes, things like that. So I wanted to offer you this time to just regroup, reground, remember what it is that really lights you up and how you can be of service to the earth in a way that is uniquely and authentically you. And then create a plan based in reality, based on an understanding of exactly what your resources are, whether it's time or financial resources or your skills and abilities, and create a plan, an action plan to follow that will start to move you in the direction of your vision for your service to the earth. So you can find this course as part of the Hibiscus Rose Collective, and I will put the link in the show notes. It was a group of women identifying coaches and healers who came together for a week under my coach, Sora Soria No, and we just worked together for a week, bringing our kind of vague ideas of courses into existence. It was a pretty intense week. It was a great, incredible group, and all of the courses that are out there are just really juicy. So again, I will put the link in the show notes to the Hibiscus Rose Collective, and you can go check them out. I also want to just reiterate that sponsoring this podcast on Patreon, and you'll also find the link in the show notes, is extra important right now because normally my healing practice, my private yoga and shamanic Reiki practice, funds Dancing Turtle Wildlife Rehab. And because I am not doing that work right now, we are a little tight budget-wise, and because everyone is home, we are having a real surge in intakes. The group that I am part of, North Country Wild Care, up in the upstate part of New York, is just inundated with baby squirrels right now. I have 12 in-house, and that is way more than the five, which is supposed to be my max. So scrambling a little bit for caging and things like that. And also, our spring has been very weird. Turtles are up early. I've unfortunately already buried two turtles. Both of them that came in did not make it, which can happen. Sometimes their injuries are just too bad. But I am anticipating, because they are out a little bit early, a pretty heavy turtle season. And because the spring has been weird, it's been warm, it's been cold, it's been warm, it's been cold. It has not been consistently warm enough for me to get my overwintering turtles outside and ready to go, which means that I still have five turtles in house. And two of them most likely will need to stay even longer because they're not fully healed. So, I'm definitely going to need to expand my ability to keep turtles long term, which means I need more equipment, more housing. My husband is right now working on creating a pre-release cage for the squirrels outdoors, a permanent one for me, because I need to be able to start moving some of my squirrels out, get them ready to go out into the wild. And after that, I'm going to need him to start making me some surrounds for some stock tanks and some bait tanks that were donated to me so that I can move some of my turtles that are been here for a while outside so that they can start getting used to being out again and will be ready to be released in another month or so. All right, so yeah, please sponsor this podcast on Patreon if you can. You can sponsor for as low as $1 a month, and it makes a big difference. All of you helping out in little ways. Thank you. All right, if you're settling in for meditation with me, go ahead and get comfortable. And we said you can do this seated, you can do it laying down. It is a guided visualization, kind of a journey into the energy of Beltane, May Day. I am recording this on May 1st when this is celebrated, and it is a celebration of spring and a feeling into the energy of spring. So go ahead and get comfortable. Allow your eyes to close. And take a few deep breaths. With each exhale, allow your body and mind to relax. Feel your body held and supported. Shift your attention to your mind's eye. Open your imagination. See, sense, or just know that you are in a meadow, a wild field. It's spring, and the air is soft, but still a little cool. There are riots of small flowers among the tufted grasses. There are wild flowers that some would call weeds, like thistles and dandelions. There are also escapees from cultivated gardens, marigolds, lily of the valley, daffodils. Feel the plants brush against your legs as you walk through the meadow. Feel the soil at the roots where all the plants crowd to get the energy from the earth. Smell the flowers and the grasses in the sun. Pick two dandelions, one yellow in full bloom and power, yellow so bright it will tint your cheeks if you rub it against it, but soft as velvet. The other, gray tuft of seeds, even softer than the yellow one. You're approaching the border of the meadow now, and there is a rise of ground. Other children of Earth are there. In the trees, at the edge of a wood. There is an old foundation here, and the trees are growing on and through it. A maple and a pine are competing to see who can grow taller and get more sun. You can see the power of these trees. The rocks are cracking and splitting where the roots push through the concrete. The earth reclaims with awesome power. Pick up a maple key and a pine cone. The trees are full and green, still new with promise of deepening. A silly squirrel drops a nut and is scolded by a nesting mother bird. Now walk on. You follow a path through the woods. And along the path, you hear the gurgling sound of a brook over the chirping of the birds. The brook is strong this time of year when the snows that feed it are melting and rain follows the changing temperatures. You come to the brook and see the swirls in miniature whirlpools and eddies around the rocks, just like its mightiest big river cousins. As you follow its willow-fringed banks, you see places where it narrows and makes small canyons, and places where it widens to still pools full of promise. Of places for fish to hide. One of the mossy banks holds a nest of mallards. They squawk at your intrusion. Don't worry, little ducks. We're leaving. The brook now topples over a ridge of rock. It splashes down granite steps of its own carving, steps polished curvaceously smooth by a millennia of spring melt-offs. Such a playful falls that splashes your cheeks as you skirt the brookside. Yet it has the power to carve the stone. At the base of the fall is a pool, then a short race where the brook joins another. It used to be a narrow creek, but the miller's dam has stopped it. Cattails and water lily have grown at the edges. The harness power of the creek is used to grind corn or other grains. And now, today, it also provides electric power to the mill owner and their family. Splash your feet in the water and then go on. As you leave the mill pond and climb a hill, you see a town in the distance. It's a small place, and it is as if it were a long time past. At the edge of the town is an old-fashioned blacksmith's forge. The craftsman welcomes you as you near the place. His fire is good and hot, and there is little smoke, and you feel the heat radiating before you even get inside. All around are implements of hard iron and steel and of softer molded metals. All these, horseshoes and wagon springs and knives and tools, all have been shaped by the fire and flame. All have been heated to a red hot so intense it is nearly unthinkable, and the power of this fire is contained. The blacksmith seems to sense that this fear is near to awe, and he hands you a wire with some filings on it. In the dark forge, he lights them, and lo, they are sparklers. The spitting sparks tickle where they touch your hands, Oh, there is power here enough to burn you or your house, but it is hard to fear such pretty fun. Move out of the forge now and skirt the town. It is ringed with farms. There is a farm that was in the news sometimes back. A tornado, air at its most destructively powerful, level 2 of the buildings. Only cellars kept the people safe, and they were glad to have them. The things people built were blown away like little pigs' houses of straw. But even this much power can amuse. After the storm, it was found that a mop handle was driven through a phone pole. And there it is. Its mop head still flapping like doll hair in the breeze. The handle right through the pole about 10 feet up. Walk further down the road. One farmer has a windmill to pump water for his stock, and you watch it spin like you used to play with pinwheels. Let the windmill bring to mind a dream of fields of tulips as far as the eye can see. This windmill is glinting in the lowering sun, and this reminds you to move on. You come back to the meadow. When you arrive in the grass and the flowers, take a moment to think of the power of the earth and its beauty. Think of the power of water and its splash and laughter. Think of the power of fire and its giddy light. Think of the power of air and of a playful breeze. And be thankful for all of these. As you leave this place of your imagining, think what you can do with power and beauty and laughter. What are you planting this spring? What will your plantings yield? What fruits, grains, ideas? May you tend them well and have good harvest. Now open your eyes, take a deep breath, and come back to the real and present spring. Have a blessed May Day, a blessed Beltane, and honoring the divine light in all beings that connects us and makes us one. Namaste.